Hi there, this is Erin Nicole, and you're listening to the Move Happy Movement podcast. On this show, I interview people from all over the world. Sometimes I do sermons from the divine. He whispers to me the topic and tells me when to hit record and when to share it with you. And sometimes I share music with you to help empower you to find happiness from within. This show is a mental health tools show to help add some tools to your toolbox, if you will. I just got done with my work day, and these days are a little bit longer than the rest of the week. Was gonna hit the gym, and then I decided I'm gonna walk in nature. So if you hear some nature sounds, those are real animals in the background, real leaves crunching, things like that. So on my way here, the Father whispered to me, "Top of the morning to ya." And I kind of giggled and I was like, "That is not the topic, is it, Father?" And he said, "Yeah." So I thought, okay, well, it kind of reminds me of this month of March. We've got our celebration coming up in about 10 days or so from the day that I am recording this episode, to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. And so I don't pre-plan these sermons. Whatever comes out, comes out. So hopefully there are some practical tips for you. And my philosophy is take what you love, leave what you don't, and hopefully you're able to leave with at least something that you can apply to your life. I'd love to start it with prayer. If you're not driving, feel free to bow your eyes and, or bow your head and close your eyes and join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day and this opportunity to connect with people from all over the world. Father, I don't know what they're going through, but you do. I don't know what level of stress they're under, but you do. And how their days have been going, how their seasons have been going. But you know every detail. You know all the number of hairs on our heads. You know how many tears we've cried. You know how many joyful moments and everything in between. So, Father, I thank you and I praise you right now for opening up ideas in my mind, words to speak, and any thought patterns that you would clarify and bring to the top of mind to help those that are most in need to connect with you directly through my voice, through my tone, and through the spiritual realm that comes around me and comes through my lips, connects to their heart. Father, I thank you. In your heavenly name I pray. Father, right now I also bind up any attacks of the enemy that would cause a distraction in my listeners. Father, I thank you and I praise you that you give them ears to hear and eyes to see, and you give them discernment for what is right and what is not. Pray this in your heavenly name. Amen. All right, Father, what's the first thing that you desire for me to speak about? Top of the morning for you. All right. Father says, talk about your history. So we do have a little bit of Irish in my family from my mother's side. I don't know too much about it other than she's got some cousins in Ireland. I would love, absolutely love to visit one day. I think that would be the absolute neatest thing in the whole wide world, to be able to travel and visit extended family in different areas. When I was really young, we took a family road trip to meet all of her side of the family, and she had a big family reunion. I was 7 years old. I'm the youngest of three kids, and it was really neat to meet her sisters, my aunts, and my uncle, cousins, second cousins, many of which come from that Irish line. Got some step aunts and uncles in the family as well. Not sure if they're if they've got any Irish in them or not, but that was the first thing that came to mind. What else, Father? We sang a song. What was the song, Father? We did a little Irish dance at jazz camp in high school. I remember my first summer there with John Jacobson. And it's kind of hard to describe it if you haven't seen it, but it's got like a little bit of a motion of kind of like a tap dance, but different. You like kick your leg up high. It's like a one leg up, and your knee is very pronounced. And then you do kind of like a tap, tap, tap with the feet. It's very difficult to verbally describe it. What was that song? If the idea comes to mind, I'll share with you. We had sung another song, Loch Lomond. And I was talking with my mom yesterday, and come from a long line of musicians, by the way, if you are first time listening to the show. Music from both sides of the family, but really mainly immediate family on mom's side. Mom was a professional opera singer in college and devoted service, volunteering, singing her, using her voice in church and whatnot. And so she's still singing, she's still kicking. And she and my aunt, my dad's sister, are singing for a St. Paddy's Day celebration in a week or so. And they've got a few other ladies that are joining them as well. And they're singing some Irish music. And Oh Danny Boy, I think she said they were going to sing, and a couple other songs. And I thought, isn't that neat? There's so much beautiful history in Ireland. If you ever get a chance to visit it, take me with you, please. Top of the morning to you. When I was little, of course, we ate the Lucky Charms cereal, and the marshmallows was, of course, the best part of the cereal. I remember the Lucky Charms character on the commercials and whatnot. And there was a scary movie that I think it came out in the 80s, maybe early 90s, that had to do with the scary man. He looked like he was the, the little guy searching for the pot of gold. But I think he was actually, was that movie from Rapunzel or something? He was like an evil character. I can't remember the name of that movie, but it was really scary. As a child, probably shouldn't have been watching it. If you do find yourself watching a movie and you have small children with you and they look frightened, maybe switch it to something a little more sweet. What else, Father? You want me to sing Oh Danny Boy? Oh, Danny Boy, the pipes are calling. That's all I remember for the lyrics. melodies, of course, are very easy to remember. There is an app you can learn the Gaelic language and study and speak to people in Ireland or speak to people that are Irish. I think their accents are beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And there are some violinists that had, they were singers and violinists, and did they play something? I think they might have played a different instrument as well. We went and saw a few years ago when, actually, this must have been like 10 years ago, my dad was alive. He bought tickets for my mom and myself, and I think maybe one or two other people to go and watch this this concert. I think they were sisters, if I'm remembering correctly. And they came to, this was before I moved across the country. This was like in Seattle area. And that was neat. That was really neat because my dad didn't do stuff like that. Pretty much my whole childhood was him working really hard and not really being involved in the family because he was so tired from his exhausting jobs. But his last few years of life, he got into therapy and started being more aware of the relationships that he had and the depth of them, and being more courteous and conscientious of those that he cared about. And his love language, definitely gift giving. And that was a really thoughtful gesture for him. He was going to attend, but the night, I think the night of the concert, it was, it would be too late for him to watch it and then get up the next morning. So he gave us the tickets and said, enjoy. As I record this episode, yesterday would have been his birthday. He's been gone for, I think, 7 years, since 2016. And that first year and the second year, they were really difficult. If you've lost a family member recently, whether it's due to COVID or old age or cancer or whatever, you're not alone. It does get easier in time. We never, you know, forget those people in our lives, but the pain, the grief gets easier to deal with over time. Time does heal a lot of it. I want to encourage you to not try to pretend like the grief isn't there. Accept the thoughts, accept the feelings and the memories. And if people say things like, I'm so sorry for your loss, or, you know, would you mind telling me a story? Or maybe they don't say things like that, but maybe you tell a story if the opportunity arises, something that you remember them by. That keeps their memory alive, and it allows for you to process through the loss in a healthy, productive way. And if you're not there yet and you're just grieving and weeping anytime you think about that person, that's okay. Maybe you write about it in a journal. And when the time is right, if you feel right about sharing that, maybe in a group setting, do what feels right for you. If you lost a spouse and you are a widow or a widower, there are groups specifically designed for you. If you prefer Christian or conservative settings, there is textbooks that were designed for group therapy sessions in church settings, designed to be facilitated from those that have also lost a spouse, so that it is someone that has been through your shoes, survived it, and is thriving and wants to help you get through it as well. If you're going through a divorce, same thing. They're called divorce care and widow and widower care. And most of the classes are free through the church. You just purchase the book. You know, maybe it's $20, $25. And you go once a week. It's a 8 or 15 week or so, somewhere around there, class with homework each week, Bible verses to help, lessons. You write in your responses and whatnot, and it helps you to process through the loss. So I want to encourage you, if that sounds like something that you'd like to partake in, do it. Call your church. If you don't belong to one, give a ring to one that looks like it might be good for you. I'd say medium to larger size churches are going to offer more things like this than the super small ones. But you never know. Give them a call and say, hey, I just, you know, lost a spouse, or I'm going through a divorce. Do you have any classes to help? Or I've got an addiction. They have recovery classes, they're usually called, for those that have drug or alcohol addictions. Then you get a sponsor through the church. It's usually a pastor or associate pastor, or they're maybe an elder of the church, and they can help you process through that. If you're not religious focused and you'd prefer to stay out of the church setting for it, but you know you need some help, reach out to your local group therapy offices. If you're a veteran, you can reach out to the VA, say, hey, I'm looking for group therapy. If you're not a veteran, that's okay. There are programs, group therapy or individual therapy sessions. If money is an issue, ask them, hey, do you have a sliding scale? I am struggling with my bills. More often than not, they will have sliding scale options for you, or they can refer you elsewhere. So I recommend that for you. Anything else, Father? What else? Such a beautiful day. There's so much green. As I'm walking, I'm seeing all of these three-leaf clovers. I don't see any four-leaf yet. Maybe we'll get one on recording. But, yeah, it's starting to get more green out, which was really nice. Okay, Father wants me to speak about camp and what camp was like. Well, camp was definitely fun. You talking jazz camp, Father? Jazz camp. Top of the morning to ya. Jazz camp was 6 hours a day rehearsal, 3 hours of music, 3 hours of dance, if I'm remembering correctly. And then we had evening activities that was watching other high-level performers, or fun activities to connect with the campers. The last day we were there, we performed for our parents and community members. There was maybe 1,500 or 2,000 that were in the audience, I'd say. Oh, they had a talent show one night, I remember. We drove up. We were in Weed, California, at the College of the Siskiyous, with Roger Emerson, he's released over 500 pieces of music through Hal Leonard, like probably a ton of Grammys and all kinds of awards. He was actually a guest on the podcast, I think, in 2022, if I'm remembering correctly. We've been doing this show for 6 years, so I mix up my years sometimes. Kirby Shaw is another great composer as well. As the choreographer John Jacobson, my sophomore year and senior year. And And we had a guy from, I think, Broadway, my junior year. I forget his name, but he was really cool too. So camp was awesome. My first year, it was really tough. This was a few weeks after I had really been struggling mentally. I have this gift of prophecy, future telling, if you will, visions from the Father of the future. But it's a spiritual gift and it's a skill. And you have to practice thinking proactively and positively and whatnot. And when I was a kid, growing up in a depressed household with my father, it was very depressed. I thought that way too. And I thought that was how I was always going to be thinking. And my mind went way into the future and worst case scenarios, which is pretty natural for most of us. We actually talked about that today in our behavioral group that I co-facilitate with my colleague. And it's how our brains are wired. Our brains are wired to protect us. And that's what my brain was doing as a 14-year-old. And so it was challenging the first year because I didn't learn the music well enough before camp to learn the choreography and the music. It was too much information. So I learned to simplify it after that first year, the following year. And I learned some styles of the dance moves from the choreographer to where the second year I had the music memorized basically by the time I got to jazz camp. Because it was the week after school got out for us. And I was able to do next level learning on the music. So if you're not familiar with learning, reading music, first things first, you sight read. And the faster you're able to sight read with minimal mistakes, the faster you can learn your part or many parts if you need to do many parts. I was a split alto one and two. We had two altos, two alto ones, two alto twos, and the split. I was the split if they needed three alto ones on a part or three alto twos on a part, or if somebody was sick, I needed to learn both parts to make sure that our volume was balanced, our tone was balanced, the sound and everything. And in order to be able to do that, you have to first learn, you know, part A, part B, etc. And once you get the music part down, then you can start adding the musicality, the details to it. Adding the volume, the phrasing, the lyrics, enunciation, and so on and so forth. And we were doing high-level performing. We learned our set. For the majority, that was our set for the year. We performed an average of 40 performances. Performances like inside of Disneyland on stage, performed for all the superintendents of Washington State, for all the school districts, hundreds of schools, their superintendents, like big time gigs, performed for the Daffodil Parade, the Daffodil Princess coronation. We were the entertainment for that night. All kinds of gigs. We performed at businesses during their lunch hour. Paid, of course. They paid our program, paid for our transportation, variety of fees that went to our program to help keep our program cyclical, self-funding, etc. And the jazz camp was where we learned a lot of that information and got to dream bigger. One of the campers, she was younger than us. She had already been in a Broadway show. And I thought, wow, we get to perform alongside someone that's been in a big time show. She was the main actress, the main part for Annie. If you haven't seen that, I strongly encourage you to do it. You probably have one of the famous songs from that musical is "Tomorrow, Tomorrow, I Love You, Tomorrow." So there's a few other songs in there as well. She did a little performance for us and showed us what skills she had. She was maybe 9 years old. Her level of professionalism was so top tier. And she loved working with us because we were high school students and we were the leaders there. That was really fun for me to work hard, doing something that I loved. And I celebrated my birthday there every summer. My parents drove us down. There was 3 or 4 families that would caravan. We would drive down as a group together, and our high school director and his wife, and they would do their adult things during the week when we were rehearsing. And then at the end of the week, we all gathered together and went to this awesome waterfall place, and those that were risk takers jumped in the water, little rock wall thing. Those of us that were not risk takers, myself and a few others, sat on the rocks and enjoyed watching other people jump in from about 20, 25 feet high and talk about the coming year, what we were most excited about, what we needed to work on, and what we believed could be possible if we kept our eyes on the prize. And I don't know if Mr. Krause has got any Irish in him. I know he's got German in him and whatnot, but he was very respectful of all cultures. And he taught us how to learn about and respect cultures through the music. We sang some old English songs. We sang some in German from Schubert and some in French. Debussy. What else, Father? He got us, those of us that were elite top leaders in the group would compete at Allstate and All Northwest. And a lot of that stemmed from the beginning, going to jazz camp and having our initial, and this is a key term, mastery experience, our first initial experience with the program being around top level professionals. So I strongly encourage you, if you are leading a group setting, if you're a coach of athletes, if you work with musicians, performers of some capacity, that you invite them to watch and, if possible, invite them to perform with top-level athletes, with top-level performers, to learn from the best of the best. Judges, adjudicators, trainers, coaches, clinicians, and get them to pay for it, invest in their learning. That was one really neat thing that I appreciated about Mr. Krause, our choir teacher, Mr. C, because he was very much like my father in that sense, where he knew that if we were invested in our learning, we would care more about it. And he never allowed for lack of funds, lack of money to be a limitation. We had fundraisers every month, it seemed like, every season where we're doing some sort of fundraiser. Anytime there was games going on in Seattle, either the Mariners or football or soccer, the Seahawks, when I was a sophomore and junior, they were getting their stadium built. So they performed, or they played, I should say, at the Huskies stadium. So we would do Huskies games, and on alternating weeks, the NFL would be playing. So we would go and sell hot dogs and soda and coffee at those games to make extra money. We would clean up after the game, like the next day. So that would be our weekend. And sometimes I'd miss church, and Mom was okay with it because she knew that this was important and she would be there right there with me. For the most part, she still sang on her worship team and whatnot, but she volunteered as much as possible because we didn't have unlimited income. And the trips that we took and the outfits for our costumes, for our uniforms, were not cheap. We wore nice things. When we competed against top-level performers. And we wanted to look our best when we performed for paid gigs. These were business owners and executives. We performed even for politicians in Olympia, Washington, at the Capitol building. So we wanted to look our best. When we did gigs like that, we usually wore our tuxedo outfits. If it was a very fancy performance and they wanted sparkle, the ladies wore our sequin disco ball, I call it, dresses that were very, very sparkly. Those were $600 dresses, $500 or $600, depending on which year you got your dress. The first year, I think it was $600, and then they found a more affordable pattern after that. Mr. C utilized parents' skills in getting us custom-sized dressing when our new dresses didn't quite fit us. The straps were a little loose. He never wanted us to look unprofessional, but he also didn't want us to have to pay for dress customizing and whatnot. So Natasha's mom, she was a seamstress, professional seamstress was her job, and his wife, they worked together, and they custom-sized our dresses for us, and they added a little mic pouch with a Velcro on the inside of the dress. I think they sewed it in and then added a Velcro patch so that we could have our little J mic, like the Britney Spears mic. It was a very positive experience, and I got to be a part of this for 3 years in high school with the best performers in the best school that took first place every year. And Mr. C had 25 or so years of experience winning before I got to be a part of it. I'm so grateful. A lot of that had to do with top of the morning to you, getting up early, being ready, showing up early, 15 minutes minimum, being prepared always, asking good questions, initiating interactions. He got us talking to teachers, getting things covered. We missed a lot of school, so he needed to get coverage of his classes. He couldn't afford to have sub after sub after sub. If he could have a teacher cover his class and then he would swap and cover their class for an afternoon or something, then that saved the school money, that saved the district money, and it saved his PTO, so he could use that up at different times when he really needed it. Smart man. He got us talking to the teachers, got us negotiating with adults. Hey, come on, cover our classes. Here's what we'll be doing. This is how you can help the music program. This, this, and this. And I continued on, got my undergrad, and then I got my master's degree a long time ago, feels like. I got it in exercise and sports psychology, and come to find that elite performers hire people like myself to help them improve their performance, to be ready to decrease their angst so that they can perform better at high level stakes gigs. How freaking cool is that? And in the last few years, I got to coach a previous Super Bowl performer who reached out to me to help him gain more confidence with singing solo as compared to singing in a group setting. How cool is that? I work right now with the military, and I'm grateful for the position. I help with mental skills training for elite athletes that are in the military, those that are active duty, and teaching them skills, mental skills that I learned in high school, graduate school and in my professional experiences. How cool is that? Top of the morning to you. You never know what's going to happen from day to day. So I want to encourage you to try something new today. Get a morning routine if you don't have one yet. If you haven't read the Miracle Morning book or gotten plugged in on their Facebook group page, I encourage you to do so because it's such an easy, practical thing to get started for yourself. I got to hear the story of the author and how successful his morning routine, his morning routine savers were for himself. The economy was terrible at the time. He was in real estate and he wasn't selling any homes and he was very depressed and overweight and wasn't taking care of himself. He started getting up an hour before he needed to be prepared for the day. He started his morning with silence. He drank a glass of water. He did some affirmations, which is positive self-talk. He visualized what he wanted his day to look like, selling lots of homes. He exercised. He worked out, doing a variety of things, incorporating cardio, muscle fitness, flexibility. But I imagine a majority of that was cardio because that stimulates hormones to be released that make you feel good. And he was depressed. He read for a little bit books that challenged his mind and got him in a positive mind frame. And then he scripted things out. He journaled. And that was it. He did that every morning. And within, I think it was a few short months, he quadrupled his greatest sales ever. And people started asking him what he was doing. His wife said, "You need to share with people what you've been doing." And he lost a ton of weight and, you know, he was back to being healthy and everything. And he and his wife were doing great. And his stress level was down because he was able to provide for his family. So they created the acronym SAVERS. They created a free Facebook group page called the Miracle Morning Group. They've since rewritten the book for a variety of different populations. But you can get it for the main regular one. You could get it for, I think they have one for kids, for teachers. I think they have one for realtors, probably a few other adapted versions as well. Strongly encourage you to either get that book or get plugged in some sort of morning routine for yourself. Check in with what you're eating as well. If what you're eating is not conducive to making you feel better about yourself, then change it. Maybe add some veggies into your diet if you're not eating any. Maybe if you're not eating much fruit, you know, add some in. Decreasing fatty foods that aren't, you know, avocado fats. If you're eating a bunch of candy bars, maybe trim some of that out and whatnot. And then in a couple of weeks, track what you're intaking in a food journal and see how your mood shifts. The Father has given me Ezekiel 17:9, Matthew 4:20, James 1:9-12, First and Second Kings 4:3, Nehemiah 2:5. Anything else, Father? James 1:5. Revelation 13:4. With caution, he says. Revelations 17:9 through 17. So we're going to wrap it up. So if you don't have a personal relationship with the Father, feel free to check out those verses if you like. But your number one mission is to, if you desire to connect with Him and have that personal relationship, repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your gift of salvation. I know I can't earn it or buy it. You give it freely to those who believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I confess I'm a sinner in need of your forgiveness. Father, I ask you to come into my heart and show me how to be a more loving, kind person. Pray this in your heavenly name. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time, we want to welcome you to the family. Your next step is to get plugged into a Bible-based church. You want to keep God first place. Any ask, Father? If you feel led, you can donate to our nonprofit arm, Erin Nicole Ministries. We are actually working on getting my autobiography published. There is quite a hefty fee involved for advertising it on the TBN network, Trinity Broadcasting Network. So we need $15,500 to be able to pay the whole fee. I can break it up in chunks, but they won't begin advertising and final productions until the entire payment has been made in full. So if you feel led to help us, I would greatly appreciate it. I'm not going to be keeping any money from the sales for the book. 100% is going towards the Hope Foundation that my husband and I will be starting when he gets back home. So between now and then, any funds that we get from the sales will go into our nonprofit, Erin Nicole Ministries, and we'll just hold it there until the foundation is started. But that foundation is specifically for veterans and first responders and their families. It will be for them to take R&R, maybe apply for a vacation that they couldn't normally afford to take their family on. If they have an unexpected illness and there are extra expenses that the VA isn't covering, or if they're active duty, that the military TRICARE for life, I think is what their insurance is called, if that doesn't get covered, or if they want natural alternative options for their families. Illness or whatnot, not necessarily, you know, sicknesses related spending, but we desire to be able to help veterans and first responders enjoy life. And this is our way to express it for them. So I'm grateful for being alive. I received and continue receiving protections from the best security team in the whole wide world. And I desire to pay it forward to their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren. But we're not, you know, for national security risk, we can't say who's in this group and their children, their family and whatnot. And I don't know who's in this group other than my husband. And when he gets returned to me, I will figure out the logistics of how it'll all work. But we desire to help all veterans and all first responders so that it's not just exclusive just for that group of people, because this group is so focused on giving. They're service focused, and I don't think they would have a problem with me including all veterans of America, all first responders of America and their family members. So that the vision of it, if you imagine, if you're familiar with TBN, their TV network, has they service 2 billion, as in boy, billion, B-I-L-L-I-O-N, not M as in Mike, but B as in Bravo. They service 2 billion households worldwide. So the faster we get the funds for the book to be released, the faster they start advertising it and releasing it. And the book is called Choosing Joy: How to Slay Your Enemies Through Love. So if this episode has done anything for you, you can donate directly by mailing us a check, or yeah, that's the best way to do it. You can look more information on our website, but we're going to be changing website hosts very soon. ErinNicoleMinistries.org, ErinNicoleMinistries.org is our website, and you can mail a check directly to 1477 Tiny, T-I-N-Y, Town, T-O-W-N, Road, that's three words, box number 191, the city is Clarksville, C-L-A-R-K-S-V-I-L-L-E, Tennessee is the state, so T-N for short, 37042. Any amount will be grateful. The closer we get to 15-5, the faster we get the book released. So thank you for your consideration. Thank you for sharing the show, sharing the mission, and don't forget to tell someone you love them today. We'll see you next time.